Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Everybody doing? It's not starting out right here, but who knows? Hey, you know, we got some crazy glue. We got some duct tape. We'll make everything fit together. But let me see if I can get our tech there. It came back up. All right. So we may be in business. There we go. We're in business now. I apologize for that. How's everybody doing? It's 308, 81 degrees on this Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. It's hump day. Halfway through the week, I just did see that manslaughter case up in Boston where I don't even know her name, Karen Reed or whatever her name is, supposedly was charged with possibly killing her boyfriend, the Boston police officer. But as of right now in Denham, Massachusetts, it looks like the breaking news, the verdict is out, not guilty on second-degree murder. So they remember there was a hung jury or something with the first trial, and then they had the trial again. And it appears that it is not guilty now. Karen Reed, that's her name. Karen Reed, not guilty in Massachusetts. It looks like there's a big crowd out there cheering. I guess she's got a lot of supporters. This was just a wacky trial. I really didn't get into it or talk to it much. But it was just a wacky trial from the start. Sue Henry and I were just discussing a little bit of it during the change of shifts here. And then my computer attempted to give me the middle finger, so kind of deterred that. But there is a not guilty on second-degree murder for Karen Reed up in Massachusetts. So I'm sure she'll be coming out and giving a statement. She has been not shy to deal with the media up until this point, even though her lawyers have kind of kept her under a little control. But again, just an odd case from the start. The evidence, the accusations both ways were kind of crazy. So, you know, the justice system spoke, and there'll be some that don't like it. There'll be some that do. And someone like me who's kind of in the middle and really don't care, to be honest with you. So, guilty on OUI. Awaiting Karen Reem's courtroom exit after not guilty verdict on second-degree murder. That's all I'm getting on the screen now. Let me see if I can get further here. Like I said, everything here is working in slow motion as far as our computers go. But they are starting to come online, so as they do, we'll get to you. See how dependent we are on these little machines here. And the only headline I'm getting is not guilty on the second-degree murder charge for second-degree murder manslaughter. So, and they're waiting for her to exit the court and speak. So I guess, you know, whatever the result is, if there's any charges that were found, it's not enough to take her directly to jail. Do not pass go. So we'll see. We'll see where it stands here, but it appears for the most serious, egregious charges here that she is not guilty. She is acquitted on those charges. I believe I'm getting reports of there's some minor charges on some peripheral charges that may have been found guilty on, but it doesn't appear to be anything, you know, overly pending that they would keep her and take her to serve a sentence immediately. So the big charge, a second-degree murder, manslaughter, not guilty. So that's the breaking news that came out just as I was about to walk in the studio. I saw the verdict was pending, and by the time my computer gave me the finger, it's not guilty. So we have that operating under the influence. So that's what the charge was. So I guess it's similar to DUI. I don't know if Massachusetts has a different levels of charge for operating under the influence or driving under the influence. Maybe she wasn't actually driving the vehicle, but in the vehicle and control of the vehicle. That could be the differential there. So if you're in a vehicle and it's not moving. Say you're at the wheel, the car's running, the keys are in the ignition, but it's in park and the car's driving. You are still held accountable in certain states because you have the capability, you are operating a vehicle. So that could be the difference here. I don't know the specifics. I'm just guessing, but that could be the differentiation here. Looks like she was given a year's probation plus a DUI program. Again, I don't have the luxury of listening to what's being said. And as I'm trying to get my stuff together, usually I have all my iPad, my phone, my two computers set up. But like I said, they decided to take today off early. And as you heard earlier, we will not be here tomorrow. It's Juneteenth. It's a holiday for Odyssey, and we have to take it off if we like it or not. So we will be on a holiday. Listen, you give me a holiday, I'm going to take it. I don't care what it's for. So there you go. And I will be off on Friday as well. Make a nice four-day weekend out of it. I got some things to do and hopefully catch up on some things. I do have some of my kids coming up next week, and there'll be a lot of things happening between now and 4th of July as far as, you know, family events and such like that. So I'm really looking forward to that. But let's get to the day's messages. Now, this started yesterday, where Keystone Mission is closing two homeless shelters, both in Wilkes-Barre and Scranton. And Sue Henry did a great interview with Mayor George Brown of Wilkes-Barre yesterday, to where he was kind of taken back because he was not in the loop originally. You know, he found out through the media that this was happening, and that's pretty messed up, meaning the fact that, you know, he and the city of Wilkes-Barre initiated over $200,000 of taxpayer dollars to the Keystone Mission and had another $100,000-plus matched from the state from one of the local state representatives. So over $300,000 in taxpayer dollars went to this entity over the last few years. And then you have the city of Scranton, which, you know, I did some research today, and they, I believe, somewhere just under $800,000. I can get you the precise amounts in just a minute.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Because there were a lot of stories today, so we'll see. Here we go. I have it up now. And this is on my Facebook page, so you could see it there, because I bring the receipts and the proof is there. The city of Scranton has awarded Keystone Mission a total of $768,500 from all funds based on available records. This includes a $43,500 in American Rescue Plan ARPA funds, nonprofit grant, a $25,000 in December of 2022, $18,500 in June of 2022. So those were the two grants, June and December, both totaling $43,500 from the American Rescue Plan Act. And they also gave $725,000 in community development block grants, funds in 2023 for the rehabilitation of the former Samter's building at 600-602 Lackawanna Avenue to establish the Keystone Mission's Innovation Center for Homeless and Poverty, which is part of Keystone Mission. So between the almost $669,000 that the city of Scranton gave and over $300,000 that the city of Wilkes-Barre gave, that's over $1 million. And if you recall, the former CEO of the Keystone Mission resigned or left earlier in the year or late last year, and the former CEO came back to kind of hold the place together and kind of reestablish its direction. And he's the one currently holding the that position today. So there's a lot of questions that needs to go on with Keystone Mission as far as some places have contingency plans for others. If you remember during a code blue, which is when it gets below a certain temperature and they open up some emergency shelters, Keystone Mission did not have enough staff to keep it open. Then they came up with a plan that there was a couple hours where they transferred over from their day operations to their night shelter operations. But what's not being said a lot, and you would mind you, if the board is deciding to close up shop on a lot of places and reduce staff by a tremendous amount, I think they're reducing 80% of their staff, if not more. 75% of their staff will be laid off. Now, they are attempting, their human resources and everything are trying to place these employees in other positions in other areas. But Barron's and Keystone Mission will reduce staff from 21 employees to 6 employees. So Justin Barron's, former CEO and executive director of the nonprofit, said on a phone interview that increasing costs, decreasing in donations and volunteers led to the board of directors to make the difficult decision. And again, if you recall, and you could do some searches in the media because there was stories about it, the former CEO left abruptly. And the former CEO, this Justin Barron's, came in to kind of rebuild the organization and get a grasp of it. But there was not much said about the former CEO abruptly leaving. Well, now that we have this, now that we have a matter of almost $1 million, or if not, $1 million in aid from 2022 to today given to this organization, and they're talking about being insolvent and have to close down because of funding and donations and such like that, I think both the city of Scranton, I think both the city of Wilkes-Barre, and I think maybe some state entities need to look into exactly what went on here. This is a lot of taxpayer dollars to our area for a very specific, a very needed cause. But this has happened time and time again where we've seen ARPA funds, we've seen these type of funds go to entities, and all of a sudden the entities no longer exist. They're out of business. It was like a last-minute payment drop before they closed doors. And there seems to be no accountability for that. And if anything's learned from it, hopefully in the future, there's some sort of written in to recoup the U.S. taxpayer, because you or I, the U.S. taxpayer, are the ones holding the bag for this. Again, it could be American Rescue Plan Act money, ARPA funds. It could be community development block grant funds. It could be local city or state funds or federal funds. It's our tax dollars. It's all our tax money. And for $1 million to be poured into this organization and to, at this point, really not have much in return for it, questions need to be asked and answered. So hopefully there's a lot going on here. There needs to be audits on what exactly took place. There needs to be questions on why did the former CEO abruptly leave and what were the problems. The board needs to answer questions. Their current CEO, he needs to answer questions. And if not, you know, hopefully our elected officials answer questions. And again, I applaud Mayor George Brown from Wilkes-Barre coming on Sue Henry's in very short notice, because he said he just found out about it by the media. You know, called and left a message for the CEO, who did get back to him. And I guess did give him a breakdown of what the situation was. And he was kind enough to come on this station with Sue yesterday. You can go back on the Odyssey app and listen to that. And it was a good interview. Jake, is that interview up on our Facebook page too with Sue and Mayor George Brown? It's also up on our Facebook page. You can go to WILK Facebook page and check it out there.
It's up on the Facebook page. And a matter of fact, Sue's best of for the weekend, I think it's sometime Sunday morning, it'll be re-aired.
All right, great. Thank you. And it's a really good interview. You know, I appreciate the mayor of Wilkes-Barre being forthcoming with the information he knows, because it's obvious that he was not shooken up, but you could tell he was not pleased with the way it was handled. I think he even said that. It's interesting that the Times Tribune did reach out to Mayor Scranton Paige Gebhardt Cognetti of Scranton, who was unavailable for comment. Well, if I gave $725,000 to an organization over 2 years that is now closing its doors to the residents in need in your city, I maybe wouldn't be available for comment too. But that's par for the course. You would think maybe there would be some answers. There's enough pictures, right? That being said, we're going to follow this. Hopefully more people start asking questions, and there needs to be some kind of in-depth look at the financials by an entity that has the ability and the skill set to do so, not just taking words for it. It's 322 here at WILK. We'll be back.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.